Well, hello. That was underwhelming. Awesome. At least I'm glad to be here. Want to welcome all of our churches joining in, everybody online, everyone here in Chula Vista. Thanks for being a part of this series, Best Year Ever. How many of you have ever seen one of these or played with one of these before? Hold it up. If you have not, get ready to live. All right. This is a little game by the toy company Hasbro called Bop It. And essentially, I'm going to play it, which, not bragging or anything, but I did set the high score last service. But considering I pulled it out of the box, that's not that impressive. Essentially, what you do is it's going to give commands, voice commands, and kind of within a short period of time to a beat. This is twist it. This is pull it. That obviously is your quick learners. That's Bop It, and then it'll say some things that I discovered in the last gathering, like swing it, hammer it, etc., and you have to do the motion, and try to keep up with the commands, all right? So let's see how this goes here.
Bop It to start.
Bop It to start.
High score, 14. Bop it. Twist it. Pull it. Hammer it.
Ah!
Score six.
Score six. Not even near as good, all right? Hopefully that's not a verdict on how this message is going to be compared to the other one, all right? Last one was a 14. You're going to get a six. Sorry about that. The point of this game is that you have to try to keep up with the commands, right? And sometimes I got a little frantic there and I messed up the twist it with the pull it, right? And I think this is the way a lot of us can end up living our lives unintentionally. What I mean is that we are living our life trying to just simply keep up with all the commands and all the demands that are on us and on our schedules and on our kids' schedules and the places we got to be and the things that we got to do and the stuff that we're responsible for. And what ends up happening to all of us if we just go too hard, too fast for too long are some pretty predictable consequences. And I want to give you those real quick. I want to invite you to be a note taker today. Grab that outline out of your program, or if you're on the app, click over there on notes as we kind of walk through this together. Because we want to live the best year ever. And to do that, there is a healthy pace and there's a healthy way in these key areas of life for us to live in so we don't end up with some pretty predictable things that happen to us. And so what can happen to us? Well, first of all, we can get out of sorts emotionally. Like when you are pushed to your edge or beyond your edge, when you're stressed, like usually one of two things happen to us emotionally. We go to the extremes. Either we blow up on the people that we love, right? We have like we have a short fuse or no fuse because we're pushed to our limits. Or this is what happens when we, you know, are hurt or, depressed or stressed or all those things. We retreat into total, like, you know, isolation away from people because we just don't have anything to give anyone else. And so we can get out of sorts, emotionally. We can also get out of sorts physically. Write that down. Like usually the first thing that we stop taking care of when we're stressed, when we're maxed, is actually ourselves. All right. When our schedules are pushed beyond our limits, we can also easily get out of order spiritually. Out of order spiritually. There's just no time for God, right? Like we're too busy, we're too pushed. There's, you know, too many things that are going on, and so we don't have time to be a part of gatherings like this. We don't have time to serve anymore. We don't have time to go to that growth group. We don't have time to, you know, like opens God's word and let it speak to us, and so we can get out of order spiritually. We can also end up out of whack financially. I mean, I just don't have time to sit down and figure out where all that money's going. Like, I don't have time to budget. The truth is, if you are out of sorts emotionally, we can also end up spending needlessly trying to fill or satisfy our hurting self. And then finally, we end up out of touch relationally. You know this, when you're not physically well, emotionally well, You know, when things in the home aren't financially well, the relationships aren't well. Because there's added tension, there's added stresses, and relationships thrive in the margin. That's where they thrive, in that extra space. And if we don't have extra space emotionally, if we don't have any bandwidth mentally to give and love and serve the people in our lives, it's going to hurt our relationships. Now, look back at that list again. Did you struggle with one or more of those in 2018? Absolutely, we all did. And guess what? We're all going to face challenges with them in 2019. And that's why we're doing this series. Because each week we're tackling some of these key areas and we're saying, hey, how can we win in this area? How could we do a little better this year in that area than we did last year? Because we're all going to have challenges in these this next year. Now, last week we talked about how do we have the best year ever spiritually. And if you weren't here, you can go back and download and listen to that talk. But we looked at one section of scripture that gave some 2,700-year-old wisdom in one single sentence on how you can live the best year ever spiritually connected to God. You remember it? Okay, let's just do last week's message then, because we're not ready for week number two. Let's start over. No, here's what we said, that we want to be people. If we're going to live a life connected to God, then we need to be a part of the things that God loves and cares about. And what does God care about? What does he expect of us? He wants us to act. Anybody remember? Justly, love, it's coming back, mercy, and something humbly with God. Walk. Hey, there we go. All right. That's what God wants from us, that we would act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with him. That's how we can have the best year ever spiritually. You can go back and listen to that if you missed it. Now this week, we're gonna talk about how can we have the best year ever emotionally and physically, in our mind, in our body. Because you are not just a physical being. Your personhood is made up of, yes, flesh and blood and bone, but you have a mind, you have a spirit and a soul. And so how do we take care of those different parts of us, our body, and our mind? Now, let me be transparent with you as we begin this message. A big part of what I do as a pastor, as a spiritual leader, is actually found in this one verse by the Apostle Paul when he was writing to a church that he had led in the city of Corinth. And he wrote to them, and here's the words that he said. He said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And if you are a leader in any way, you know that that's true of leadership, right? If you own your own business, if you're a manager at a store or a restaurant, if you are in the military, what do? Good leaders never ask people to go to places that they're not willing to go themselves. Good leaders never say, okay, you do this while I sit here. No, what do? Leaders go first. And so as a spiritual leader, and by the way, if you want to be a spiritual leader in a growth group, you want to be a spiritual leader in your home, this is what leaders do. You go first. It's basically saying, follow me as I follow Christ, and I'm going to do that imperfectly, and I'm not going to, you know, have it all together, but like I'm willing to lead, and I'm willing to go first, and we're going to learn this together. Like, that's what leadership does. And so there's a big part of that, of just kind of putting yourself out there as a leader. And so as a pastor, I regularly, you know, am going, all right, when I study and work on a message, it's like, how does this affect me? And I'll be honest with you, there are some weeks that when I look at the speaking schedule and I see what's coming up, and this is one of them, that I go, ah, crap. I don't want to teach on that because I suck at that. Like, I need to let somebody else teach on that because I'm not good at this at all. And you know you would think that too. Because if you were up here doing what I do, which is kind of put myself out there in my, kind of my life journey as I'm following Jesus and going, hey, let's all do this together, wouldn't you rather stand up here and talk about something you feel confident in? You know, like, hey, you know what? I'm actually pretty good at this. Why don't you learn from me, you know? And this is one of those that I'm like, oh, gosh. Because to be honest with you, over the last couple of years, like, man, I've not been living my best physically and I've not been living my best emotionally. I've not been the best for the people that are closest to me. And I could give you all the reasons. I could, you know, I could give you all the challenges and the stresses and the different things, you know, like that are coming my way. And all those things are real. But here's what happened to me as I studied and I prayed this week and wrestled with what we're going to talk about is that I actually started believing towards, you know, like the end of the week, like, and I can get better in this. Like, I think I really could have the best year ever in these two areas of my life where I felt kind of pushed to the edge of my limits and at times even beyond my limits. But it's like, all right, I can get better. And that sense didn't come from my own willpower. Honestly, here's what I believe. It came from the Holy Spirit within me. That if you're a Jesus person, God's Spirit, we talked about it in our Within series, God's Spirit is not out there somewhere. His Spirit is in here. And what is the Holy Spirit's job? One of the things the Holy Spirit does is to work on us, to help us become the best version of ourselves that God created us to be. He's always calling us to stop things that are unhealthy and to start things and go to things that are healthy for us, that are transforming us, that are changing us. And so, you know, as we come to the weekend, I come with this sense of like, all right, I can get better. Like, I really can have the best year ever, or at least the best year in a really long time in a couple of these areas of my life. And so my hope is that as we talk about this, if these areas for you would be a little bit of a challenge or you would go, man, I'm not really winning in that area, that like my experience, you would say, okay, man, not with my own strength and power, but with the strength of God's Spirit in me, I can do better. Like, I can win in this area. So I come to you today teaching this not at all as an expert, but as a fellow struggler, okay? Fair enough? All right. Now, we're going to look at one passage of Scripture today that really has kind of one sentence at the end that at first, when you see it, you're going to go, what does this have with living my best? What does this have to do with living my best year ever emotionally and physically? Because it's going to seem like it's coming out of left field, but hang with me and then you'll see it. So we're going to look at one big idea and then four really simple applications, okay? And this passage of Scripture, it's actually the first five verses of the Bible. I don't know if you've ever read the Bible before, but we're going to read the first five verses, get you started, okay? And the Bible, if you're new to it, it's actually not a single book. It's a collection of 66 books that tell the story of God, his people, tell the story of us, and tell the story of the early church. And the first book is actually called the beginning, Genesis. And the Bible is divided into two parts. Old Testament tells the story of the history of the nation of Israel, kind of God's chosen people, Old Testament. And then we have the New Testament, which tells the story of Jesus, which when Jesus came and when Jesus died and Jesus rose again, everything changed. And so the New Testament starts there and it tells the story of the early church, kind of the era that we still live in today. And so that's the two parts. So the first five verses of the whole thing, here's actually what it says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And then if you're taking old school notes, pen and paper, underline this last little sentence. And evening passed and morning came, making the first day. Evening passed, morning came, making the first day. So, I mean, from the very beginning, Scripture defines a day starting at a very different time than our Western culture defines a day. When do you and I think of a day beginning? When we wake up, the morning, right? Like that's when we think. Even though our time tells us that the day started at 12 a.m., which we slept through a decent chunk of the day already. But if you read Scripture, you actually will see that a scriptural day starts at sundown, sunset. That's when a day. This is why Jewish people still today, when they celebrate big events, when there are feasts or fasting in their calendar, it always starts at sunset because that's when the day begins. Over 40 times in the Bible, there is a single verse of Scripture that says evening, morning, where it talks about the beginning of a day. The beginning of the day is at sunset. Now, let me show you why this idea of thinking of a day differently is important to you having the best year ever, physically and emotionally. That if you'll think of a day being a little different, I think there's some hidden things in there that I found this week that I know are gonna help me, and you can decide whether they're gonna help you, okay? So think of it like this. All right, here's our day. There are 24 little lines representing the 24 hours. Trust me, don't try to count them, okay? So we all have 24 hours in a day, but if you think of a scriptural day starting at sunset, just for this illustration purpose, let's say that's about 5:30 p.m. All right, this is a time on average, probably most of us are finished with work. I understand we all have different schedules. My wife actually works nights, 12-hour shifts. She's a labor and delivery nurse, so this would not apply directly to her, but you get the idea, okay? So 5:30 p.m., evening to morning, about, you know, 8 a.m., that's 14 and a half hours, okay? So this is the idea of, you know, this is how the day starts, evening to morning. And then over here, we have 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., the other 9.5 hours are over here in this section. And when you look at this, most of us think of our day as what? This part right here, right? Like that's what we think of when it comes to our day. But when you look at these two things, which one of these two, this one or this one, do you have the least control over what you can do? That one, right? I mean, this is the craziest, busiest part of life. Like this is where you work. This is where you go to school. This is where you get the kids to school. This is when you can go to the doctor. This is when the dentist is open. This is when the post office is open. Like, this is when you can go to the store. You can kind of go to the store here. But, I mean, this is like all of the busy things of life. This is when kids have practices. Like all the stuff of life gets into here. And when most of us think about our day, this is what we think of, yet this is what we have the least control of. Now, I don't know about you, but when it comes to my work, I'm very intentional about my work. Like I work in blocks of time. I'm constantly evaluating and scheduling. Like, okay, here's the things for our organization that I am in charge of, that if I don't do these things, no one will do these things. And if you're a leader, you know this. If I don't do these things, I hold up all these other people from doing things. And so I'm constantly looking at my schedule with my assistant, and I'm talking about, okay, this block of time, I do this, this one, this. I have to have these things done by this time. And so I'm really intentional about how I live in this section of time. And my guess is you are too, either by your choice or by your boss's choice, right? But you know what I do in this section of time, and I've been doing out of bad habits probably over the last couple years? I just fall into this, right? There's no intention. It's like just survive. Like, oh, thank God. All right, I don't have to think about that. I don't have to worry about that right now. And I just, you know, like there's not a lot of tensionality for me in this part, which is actually the larger part and the part that I have the most control of for me personally and for my family. And so when we look at this idea of evening to morning, this is the part that probably most of us can control, and we could make little changes and start taking little steps that would lead to a healthier whole self, but we're going to accomplish that here, not here. Yeah, we still want to give our best here, right? Like scripture in fact says, you know, work like you're working for the Lord, not for people. Like, give your best no matter what your job is. So we're still going to give our best here, but the truth is, if we'll live better here, even this will get better. And so here's the big idea that I want to give you today. How can you have the best year ever, physically and emotionally? It's to be intentional about your evening and your morning. How could you create more emotional and mental bandwidth so that you have more to give the people you love? How could you worry less? It's going to be by doing a few little things, taking some simple steps that will actually produce some changes in our lives. And that's going to happen in this space. And so let's be intentional about our evening and about our morning, which really is the beginning of your day. Because here's the thing. And think about it like this. Here's kind of a sermon in a sentence. If you anchor your evenings and your mornings, come what may, there's going to be craziness over here. That's always going to happen. But you'll probably still have a good day. Right? Don't you think that's true? Like if you start it well and you end it well, you're still going to probably have a good day. And so what can we do to be intentional with this 14.5? What are we going to do? I'm going to give you four applications real quick, some things that I'm trying to do better, that I'm going to do better this year, some things that we could all do that will help us maximize that time and probably produce some changes in the most important areas of our life that we would really all want. So what do we do? Here's the first thing that we do in that time. Write this down. We need to share it. Take time for relationships. If you're going to spend time with the people you love, it's usually going to be in the evenings or in the mornings. This is when we get to be with the people we want to be with. Hopefully the people that still want to be with us. Right? Why is it sometimes the people that we love the most and the people that love us don't want to be with us? Here's why. Because we come into this space of our life so depleted because of what happened in this space, and we're not living intentional, that we got nothing left to give. Like, we got nothing left to give them. And so we're just not at our best. I mean, we all would love to come home and have everyone in the home serve us, right? Like, I have this, you know, fantasy in my head that one day it's gonna happen. I'm gonna open the garage and one of my three children are going to be there. Dad, welcome home. Let me take your backpack from work for you. And then I walk in the door and my other child is like, Dad, give me your coat. I will hang that up. And then I look over in the kitchen and my wife goes, hors d'oeuvres are ready. And your cold beverage of choice. And then my third kid that's watching cartoons is like, oh, Dad, you're here? By all means, turn it to ESPN, right? Like this is my dream in life. It's never happened in 21 years of marriage, ever once. So now I'm still believing, right? Like my guess is we all have a picture of what everybody serving us would be like. But Jesus gave some great advice. It's actually pretty famous words of advice. It's a lot of people have called it the golden rule, that Jesus said, if you want people to serve you, you actually have to serve them first. Look at the words of Jesus right here in Luke 6:31. Let's read this out loud. This would be a great verse for us to read out loud. Everybody everywhere, ready, go. Do for others as you would like them to do for you. Jesus understood that you and I have to fight human nature, that we have to say, not me first, but others first. And guess what? Your family needs you. They need your presence. They need your engagement. They need your investment. They need your love. And so make sure when you come home that in this little window of time that you share it. Some simple things you could do. Share a meal together. Turn the devices off. Turn the TV off. Have conversations. I have some good friends that every time they have a meal, their kids are a little older than mine. They're all in high school and one's in college, all still home. And every time they have a meal, they have a basket that is the device basket. And all phones go off and in the basket when they're sitting together at a table. And guess what happens if you go to their house for dinner? They take your phone and put it in the basket. Because they're like, we're so glad you're here and that we get to share these moments together. And so let's take that. And where you, like, they take your phone. I'm like, I'm a man, I'm an adult. Don't take my phone, right? But they take it. But it's just an opportunity to go, let's just share life together. There's a simple little practice that my family started when my kids were really, really little. I was studying for a parenting message that I gave probably 8-9 years ago. And I read in this book that the author talked about something that they started with their kids when they were very young, was when they shared a meal, they would do a little game and everybody would get to take a turn and share something, at least one thing. It could be two or three things from their day. And it's called mad, sad, glad. Like what happened today that made you mad, that made you sad, or made you glad? Something to talk about the highs and talk about the lows and learn how to process those emotional experiences together. And so we started this when my kids were super little. Now I have one, you know, teenager and two in upper elementary age. And this is still something from time to time we do at the table where it's like, all right, mad, sad, glad, you know, who's going to go? And the teenager, you can believe it by now, she's like, oh. Okay, if I have to, right? Like that's what teenagers do. But we still do that because it just gets the conversation started. And so share it. Do it together. Share an activity. Watch a show that you all like that creates conversation. Ooh, I hope they win. You like that person? I don't like them at all. I hope they win. Share an experience together, right? Like one of the things my family, we enjoy basketball. All my kids play it. We enjoy watching it. We go to games. Here's a picture from my family on Friday night. we found a local high school basketball game, and we said, hey, let's just go watch. And so we went and watched a local high school game and watched some kids from the church that we know that play on those teams, and my parents were visiting, in case you're wondering, who are those old people? Just some random strangers that we ran into. No, those are my parents. And so again, it was just a shared experience. It was like, all right, we're going to do some things together. Find what that is for you. All right, the people that you love, that love you, need you. And you just need to be together. And you might not be able to do that every day based on schedules. I mean, my wife, like I told you, works nights. There's sometimes we're passing one another. But we can at least do that on the weekend. We can, I mean, find what's going to work for you. So you need to share it and then write this down. You need to enjoy it. Like time for entertainment, right? And what I mean by that is not something that is simply mind-numbing, not scrolling through social media, not flipping the channels. I mean, what feeds your soul? What restores you emotionally? That when you're done doing it, you are a better person. You're happier, right? What is it that you enjoy? You got to find those things. I'm in a learning group with 6 pastors. We get together 3 times a year in person to learn, grow together. We do a monthly phone call together, and you can imagine we just started our 2nd year. So after you spend that time with people, it's kind of like a small group really for pastors. I'm in my own growth group with these guys. You get to know one another, and you get more comfortable being honest about your own problems. And so one of the guys in our group shared with us last year that just out of nowhere, at the beginning of last year, he started getting anxiety and panic attacks and leads this great growing organization in church. And he was just like, man, I've never had this problem. But I mean, it just started debilitating him. And so he took the advice that he often gives a lot of people, which is, man, you need to go see a counselor. You need to get some help. And so he started going to see a counselor. And one of the things the counselor helped him discover was the counselor asked him, well, what are your hobbies? And he didn't have an answer. All he was doing was work and dealing with family stuff. There wasn't any time for him. There wasn't things that kind of refilled and recharged him. And so the counselor was like, you need to do something. Your job is totally left brain. It's logic, it's decision making, it's meetings. That's what your job is. And he's like, you need to engage the right side of your brain, which is the creativity side of your brain. And you need probably, since all of your job is in your head, you probably need to do something with your hands. You need to do something active. Like, what is it you've enjoyed? He remembered that as a younger man, like, he really enjoyed doing metal work. Worked in a machine shop for a little bit. And so he started playing around with that and getting creative and bought some equipment and was going to garage sales and buying a bunch of scrap pieces. And then realized that he was, you know, what he really enjoyed was taking all of these old broken parts and creating them into something beautiful that now he calls redeemed crosses. And he makes these beautiful crosses out of all these odd pieces of metal. Had his own first art show in LA this last year. That's where he pastors a church. Here's a couple of the things that he's made in his garage, like out of all these different spare parts that he finds. Isn't that pretty cool stuff? Definitely cool stuff. And here's what he said to us in our group that his wife said about him. That after he comes out of the garage, whether it's an hour or sometimes on his day off, 6 hours working in there, that he's a better husband, he's a better father. And then she even said, he's actually even a better preacher that next week. Like he's more of himself. And he talked about when he does those things, it gets his mind off of those other challenges emotionally that he has. And so what is it that you enjoy? And again, not mind-numbing, like what is it that you do that gives you life? This is when you're going to have time to do it. And God wants you to enjoy this life that he gave you. In fact, look at the next verse. This is another great one for us to read out loud together. Can we do that? Everybody everywhere, ready, go. Fix your hope on God, the one who richly provides everything for our enjoyment. God wants you to enjoy your life, not just be stressed out by it. Like, he wants you to enjoy your family. He wants you to enjoy those things. And so find those things that will help you be better. Find what you can enjoy here so you'll even be better over here. So we need to share it. We need to enjoy it. Write this down. We need to rest it. Time for sleep. Time for sleep, right? That's what the biggest chunk of this time is going to be and really should be, really one of the most important decisions that we make to help our efficiency in this part of the day is our choice of sleep in this part of the day. Here's a crazy thought. Have you ever thought about this? Maybe it's just me. Why did God create us where we would need sleep? You ever think about that? It's just one of the many weird things I think about, okay? I thought about that when I was working on this. I'm like, think about it. God could have made us where our bodies just, you know, all we needed was food for fuel. Like, he could have made us where we didn't need sleep. Our eyes are just open all the time, and we're just always going. Doesn't that sound terrible? I mean, but think about it. He could have made us that way. Like, why is it that we need to put our head down, close our eyes, and then drift off into nothing and wake up? Why did God do that? A couple reasons, I think. One is, here's why. Sleep is a gift. What sleep and awake and morning does for us on a daily basis is what the new year does for us in a calendar year. As a culture, there's this sense every January of a new beginning, of a new opportunity, that this is the time things could change, right? And we said last week, never is that more true than in a relationship with God. Like that there's opportunity for change, that things could be different. And I think God gave us the gift of sleep and the gift of a new day so that every day when we open our eyes, that there is this sense on a micro level that, you know what, today could be different. Today could be better. Like today, you know what, maybe I could leave that in the past. Today, maybe I could forget about that problem a little longer than I did yesterday. Today, like there's this gift of a new every single day. In fact, scriptures say that God's mercies are new every day. And so one is, I think it's a gift, all right? The other is, I think God wants to teach us how to steward our own life well and our physical resources well. Kind of like a bank, like a bank or an investment account, right? You put a little bit of money in a bank or an investment account, and if it's in a good investment, it's going to draw interest and it's going to produce a return. Sleep is the same way, that we need to learn how to steward our bodies well. And so if you make an investment in sleep, it actually makes you better the next day. The truth is, you can only go without sleep for so long, and you think, oh, I got too much to do, I got to keep working hard. And if you do that for too many days in a row, you actually become less efficient. That's bad management. You don't think clearly, you're not working as well. Look at what the Bible says about this. Psalm 127. It's useless to rise early and go to bed late and work your worried fingers to the bone. Don't you know he enjoys giving rest to those he loves? There's another crazy thought about God in that last part of the verse. Did you catch it? God actually enjoys giving you rest. And when you don't rest, you're actually denying God some joy that he wants to give you. That's a crazy thought. Like, God loves to help us rest. So we need to share it. We need to enjoy it. We need to rest it. And then here's the last one. Write this down. We need to recharge it. Take time for yourself. Now, that's different than sleep, okay? Let me explain it this way. What I mean is, take time to recharge the most important parts of you. And some of this can blend, right? Like my friend that does the metal work, I mean, that's him taking time for himself. He's doing something that restores him emotionally. But you also need to take time to restore yourself physically. Like, find an activity that you can do, you know, that some sort of exercise that you enjoy. Or, you know, I haven't found that yet, but I have found one I can tolerate. Okay? And so find one that you can at least like tolerate physically. And then we all need to recharge spiritually, because you are not just a physical body. You have a spirit. Like, you're a soul. And so the truth is that modern psychology and neurology study the brain. They've simply discovered in the last 50 years what the Bible has taught forever about all human beings, what scripture has taught. Is that we all need the same thing to recharge ourselves. Some solitude and silence. That was only 10 seconds and you hated it, didn't you? Right? I mean, here's the deal. Like, if Jesus was fully man and fully God, and he needed times away to recharge his spirit, to recharge his emotions? Don't you think you and I need the same thing too? Look at this next verse in your outline. Luke 5. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. I mean, if the God of the universe in human flesh needed to say, I need to get away and be okay with myself and be okay with God, don't you think you and I need to do the same? Here's the truth. Everyone look right here. If you hear nothing else today, I hope you hear this. The best thing you could do for your emotional health is learn how to be okay with yourself alone and to be okay with God alone. That's the best thing you could do for your emotional health. Learn how to be okay alone with yourself, with all of your mess, with all of your hurts, with all of your brokenness. Like, learn how to be okay with who you are. Not that it's okay what happened to you, but learn how to be okay with who you are now. That is part of your story, that is part of your past. And learn how to be okay with a God that says, I'm gonna meet you in the middle of that. I'm not gonna let you, you know, become what that person did to you, or I'm not gonna leave you broken, but I'm going to come alongside you and heal you. The best thing we could do for our emotional health is to learn how to be okay with ourselves and all parts of who we are, and to be okay in the middle of that with a God who loves us. And the only way you're gonna get that sense is if you get alone. I'm going to invite the band to come back out, and we're actually going to hear a song, and then we're going to share communion together, and then I'll dismiss us. But this song is called Highs and Lows, and it talks about this reality that God is with us, whatever may come, in the highs and in the lows. Look at the last verse on your outline, 1 Corinthians 6:19. It says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you? Like, if you've said yes to Jesus, God's spirit is not out there somewhere. It's actually in here and was given to you by God. You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. Jesus gave us a reminder of the high price that was paid for each of us, and that is communion. I'm going to invite you just to reach in the seat back in front of you, or if you're in a front row, it'll be under your seat. Parent viewing rooms on a shelf in the back. Patio, somebody will serve you. Just hold this in your hand, maybe just to get ready for communion. There's like two layers there. While the lights are on, just kind of peel back the first layer and just hold it. I'll actually lead us in receiving this together. We practice open communion. That simply means all are welcome at the Lord's table. It's his, not ours. You don't have to be a member. You don't have to have gone here for a certain number of weeks. This could be your first time here. And if you would like to participate in this reminder of what Jesus did for us, you are welcome to do so. The high price that was paid for us was Christ on the cross, his body. That's what the bread represents, broken so that ours could be made whole. His blood poured out to cover our sin, all sin, once and for all. And I want to just give us a few moments as you hear this song. Just hold on to these elements. And I want you to hear this beautiful song that talks about how God is with us through the highs and the lows. And it's an opportunity for you in this moment to reflect on what you heard today. God speaks to all of us individually, uniquely, differently. All of our situations are unique and different right now. But what's amazing is that the God of the universe knows each one of us and loves us uniquely. And so I want to give you space to hear how God would speak to you today. What would be that inner voice that would encourage you? Maybe this is the day that you would go, man, God, would you help me this year learn to be alone with myself, to be okay with who I am, with what my story, with what's happened to me, and to know that I'm not alone in that journey, but that you are with me. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you that you indeed are with us, that you are not distant, you are not far away, but you are near and you are here. And so, God, we bring our whole self to you, our hurts, our brokenness, our sin, our struggles, our areas of weakness. And communion is the reminder that you love us just as we are, and you meet us just where we are, and you gave your whole self for us. And so, God, we just take a few moments and we focus on you. Speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. hear this song, and then I'll come back and lead us in communion. I'm going to invite you just to grab those communion elements in your hand, and then would you stand with me? God is always with us. He is not distant. He is not far away, even when we feel like He is. And communion is a reminder that He gave His all for us. He is with you. He loves you. When Jesus was with His best friends, if you would take that first layer back, get the bread in your hand. In the middle of a Passover meal, a Jewish celebration, celebrating their deliverance out of Egypt, Jesus was forecasting that all of humanity's deliverance from our bondage of sin. And He took bread and He broke it and He said, "This is my body broken for you. Let's eat the bread and remember Jesus." Then if you'll open the cup, Christ took a cup of wine and began to pass it around. And He said something that sounds strange to us. He said, "This cup represents a new covenant." That's not language we use. It means a new promise. Christ's blood poured out to cover all sin once and for all. Let's take the cup and remember Jesus. Let's go ahead and drop that in a stranger's purse next to you. And I'll close this in prayer. Jesus, we thank You for this tangible gift, something we can touch, something we taste, that reminds us of this incredible spiritual reality that You died once and for all so that we could live. And so God, may we take that with us this week. Help us be more intentional with that 14.5 hours to take some little steps this week to partner with You and becoming the best version of ourselves that You created us to be so we can have the best year ever. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.